Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Okay, so yesterday didn't really work out well for the Cardinals. We heard from Mike Schilt. We heard from John Mozeliak. We heard from Danny Mac on FS Midwest. But the most notable thing over the course of the last 24 hours is that Ron's just told us something about smokers at an office place. So tell us about what this idea that somebody that you used to work with had that works.
Well, I wasn't intending to give people ideas here.
Well, but it's a gem if you're a smoker.
If you are a smoker and you're too lazy to take the elevator downstairs and have your 10-minute smoke break, do it wherever you want to do it, in the office. Then go get a microwavable bag of popcorn and burn it.
That's brilliant.
And it absolutely reeks. It covers up the smell of everything in your office, and you will be perfectly fine. So, have at it.
And if your office randomly today smells of burnt popcorn.
That's right. Somebody's smoking in it.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Because I was like walking into work, and it happened all the time, and I said, why does this place smell so bad?
Does nobody know to take it out after you stop hearing the pops?
And then somebody said, Doug Buffone's smoking, and then he's burning popcorn to cover it up.
So cigarettes are expensive anyhow, right? And then you
couple that with popcorn right?
every time? I don't think popcorn's cheap. I mean, you really have a habit.
Oh, yeah. Well, he had money. He could do whatever he wanted. Yeah, well, cool. How much is a pack of cigarettes? Like $12?
I have no idea.
Like that, yeah.
Mike would know.
Somebody just said $6. $6.
$6? There's no way. I thought they kept raising the taxes on it.
That's probably for like Kools or something.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So normally on the Fast Lane, we do a show called Would You Rather at the end. But I'm going to give you guys a little Would You Rather at the beginning. Would you rather have Greg Maddux in his prime or Kyle Hendricks against the Cardinals?
I'll take Kyle Hendricks against the Cardinals.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me get back to you. I got to think about this.
3-0 with a .39 ERA this year. Same guy. So, and this feels dirty to say, although I think I've said it before. Kyle Hendricks actually is one of my favorite guys in the league to watch pitch.
I bet.
Because he pitches.
He hits his spots every time.
And it's so fun to watch, actually, when he's on, which has been every single time against the Cardinals. So we've seen plenty of them. Once again, 3-0 with a .39. Hasn't walked anybody and it's punched out 13. But like third time around the order, I love watching how he pitches backwards. Tommy Edman, just for example, got him out of way twice, and then third time in, as Tommy's leaning over so he doesn't flail at that changeup and throw his bat again, bah, inside. Oh God, that hurt. Everything was like he was awesome last night. That game just sucked more because of the trade deadline.
Yes,
is what it was. Like I'm not mad that Kyle Hendricks shoved against the Cardinals, which he oftentimes does. I'm not mad that he stranded a bunch of runners because he's been able to do that as well. Sure, you'd like to be able to scrape something out when you have runners on first and third and nobody out. Love that. But, you know, whatever.
I got to tell you, and this never, I won't say never, it rarely happens for me. But everybody else is upstairs watching their below deck or whatever. Patrick's working. And so I'm downstairs by myself watching the game. Weeders double clutches and makes that throw to allow Bias to score. And I go, Jesus. out loud.
From seeing that, and again,
I bet everybody watching did the exact same thing.
Matt Weiders has been so good. Like, he's been really good. And he's made like smart baseball plays and like quick snap throws, the pick, throw him out. That was one in watching the play develop as far off as Bias was. I'm thinking to myself, run at him. Go, like, make him commit some way. Get out there a little bit. If you're going to throw somewhere, don't throw behind him at the very least. I mean, he's committed far enough. And then certainly, you know, try not to chuck it into center field if you can. But ultimately, you gave up a couple of unearned runs in a game that you just didn't score.
Yeah.
So
right.
You're going to lose games like that.
That
sometimes.
Was just one of those things. And Matt Wieters has been so good. I mean, he's allowed to make a mistake, right? But that was just one of those things.
That was my reaction at 3 o'clock yesterday.
Yeah. And and Danny and Rick, and I think we were all thinking, okay, if it's one, there's a chance. But if it's 2-0, this game's out of hand.
You know what? It just kind of felt like one of those days, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And almost there was something, I don't want to call it poetic, because usually when you use that word, it's something beautiful happened. Yesterday was poetic in the sense that it was... You felt like that outcome was going to happen in that game because of what happened earlier in the day.
Yeah.
And that's totally irrational because one thing had nothing to do with the other. Well, maybe a little bit to do with the other. But I had this feeling that they were going to go into that game and feel flat. And maybe it's because I felt that way as a fan, and I'm sure a lot of people watching felt the exact same way. But yesterday could not have worked out a whole lot worse unless somebody... significant got injured.
And go back to what we heard on the mic drop, how enthused and how jazzed Houston was at getting Greinke, the players, and how different the feeling must have been, despite what they might have said, how different the feeling must be in the Cardinal clubhouse.
Well, we got to bring her in. Say, guys, look, I know the trade deadline didn't go as planned. Apparently the asking prices were high, but you got to share a first place here. We got to get going. Yippee.
Yeah. None of the teams you were on were in that position, right? Where they needed somebody at the deadline, you were hoping for it and didn't get it. Because you were either on a really good team or, and I'm pretty sure they all
I was trying to think about it. Actually, I was trying to think
Kansas
about this
City
this
didn't
morning.
Do anything, but.
No, God, no. 06, we didn't make, like, any monster trades. Like, there wasn't, like, that big move where you look at it and be like, oh, okay.
Ronnie Belliard.
Yeah. But you didn't look at it and say, ah, we just won. But you knew you had the team there that
already
could go on something if, in fact, they're healthy.
Right.
But 2009, again, to reference Matt Holliday when he came over, the energy, and I still remember, we were playing in Philadelphia. We get the news. He shows up, and it's like, oh yes. Yes, like we're doing this. Like, this isn't just a random, this guy can spot start every once in a while. You're plugging in an MVP candidate. Yeah,
right.
Like right here, right now, let's go make a run. The Cardinals didn't need that necessarily yesterday. They just needed somebody to eat up some innings in the rotation.
And the Astros, they have to feel jacked. And you heard from a couple of the players, but look at how good they already were. And you probably could have called them the favorite to win the World Series as it was. And then they go and do what they did. You have to feel over the moon if you're a player in that organization.
No doubt, because you know that the front office and ownership, Jim Crane, St. Louis guy, they have your back. And they're doing everything they can to win. And if it's going to cost them a few prospects, they're going for it this year. They know that Garrett Cole isn't going to be around next year. They know that Verlander is 37 years old. They know that there aren't a whole lot more opportunities for that particular group of players. So they're going to take a shot with this particular group, and then they need to make changes, they'll make changes.
And Arizona got a pretty good return, which you would expect from Greinke. But there's also a very good possibility a lot of those guys, if any of them, don't get to the big leagues and contribute in a meaningful way.
Let's see how next year Arizona and Cincinnati are... Arizona gets guys back. Cincinnati was willing. They had the guts to move their top prospect so that they could get Trevor Bauer. It'll be interesting to see how all of that hashes out over the course of the next year or so.
Well, yeah, because I do think it's interesting. You plant a flag and just say, all right, well, we're trying to grow something for the future. At some point, we should go back and look at all these futures. You know, what are these what are these turning into?
Right.
You have to have a plan. It's great to be able to sell the same thing over and over again. All right, we're looking for something. We're trying to acquire something for then. What's that going to look like?
Well,
I think it looks pretty good, by the way. I like the Reds move, and I like the move for the Diamondbacks.
The percentage of players that get traded away at the deadline for somebody who's more proven, it's not good. If you're looking for those players who will eventually grow up to be major leaguers and be actual contributors, the number's not good. And some of that could be that the teams that had them before rightfully evaluated them and realized these guys aren't going to turn into anything, even though they've got top five pedigree or whatever. So we're going to let them go. And then they know that eventually they're not going to be anything, and they don't. The bottom line is most of those major leaguers or those minor league players don't turn into anything. So you've got currency to spend. Spend it.
The Cardinals and Cubs will wrap up their series tonight at the ballpark, 6:15, with the pregame on FS Midwest. I guess it's a 6 o'clock pregame for that 6:30 start, early start. 6:15 start?
6:15.
Yeah, so 5:30 pregame on FS Midwest. Coming up, Mo and Gersh answered the media's questions after yesterday's trade deadline, and we'll hear their excuses or explanations next on 101 ESPN. That is Pobo Mo of the Cardinals. You're always invited to leave a mic drop with the 101 ESPN app. We'd love to hear from you throughout the course of the day. And if you want to talk about the Cardinals, if you want to talk about their inactivity, we'd love to hear from you here on 101 ESPN.
Even Yoda was putting the front office on blast.
Yeah.
Well, dude was like 700 years old. Golly. A lot of wisdom there.
He's beamed up so many times, too.
Damn it.
There are no excuses. And I'm glad to hear Mo say that he doesn't want to offer excuses, because there are no excuses for the failure to land a starting pitcher. I mean, even Jason Vargas or something.
Well, that was for the safety of the media.
Get him out.
Overall, yeah. Right, yeah. For those that don't remember, he threatened to kill a guy or something.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
kill a guy. But we all wish they would have gotten a starter. And I know that I wish he would not have said, "We still, what was it? We still expect to win." It's kind of disingenuous.
No, it's not. That's not disingenuous.
Just to say it. I think you can expect to win, but don't tell the fans after you went through that day. We still like our club. We still expect to win.
What are you supposed to say there, though?
Just leave that out.
I don't think you do. I don't think you say, yep, didn't do anything. What about your club right now? Well, nothing. No comment.
I don't think you can say we hope to win still, because that might piss people off as much.
We believe in this group.
Yeah,
sure, that's, good.
That's good. We believe in this group.
We believe in them. Yeah.
Phrasing.
It's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine. But it is one of those days where one wrong word, people are pissed already, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe, the Word document ready?
Right.
Oh, the template.
Deadline, the template.
Yeah, the template. Yeah, we tried.
Asking prices were high.
Oh, right. Here's Mike Gersh.
Oh.
The asks were very high, and the question was when would the dam break? And as Mo already mentioned, there were a decent number of starting pitchers that were widely assumed to be available and widely assumed to be traded this trade deadline who ended up not moving, and that as that became more real, it became more obvious that these prices are just what they are.
So Microsoft does make that template.
Yes,
know?
They do.
I didn't know.
It's very useful. Apparently for the General Manager's Edition, which must be expensive,
extra.
By the way.
Yeah,
I wonder how much that does cost. Look, and he is partly right, because the price for these starting pitchers was incredibly high. We heard about Zach Greinke and how they did not come down at all. Arizona said this is what he's going to cost, and apparently Houston tried to finagle a little bit, and they said, nope, this is it. This is, if you want him, you're going to have to give us this, and so they did it. Which is probably why all the other starters did not move. However, the price of doing business at the deadline, if you're serious about improving your team and winning, is high. That's why it costs a lot of prospects currency to make that happen. So you either have to be willing to improve your team at whatever cost, or you just write it out and say, hey, you know, this is what it is.
And,
or you could have done more in the offseason.
Yeah. And we, especially as a conduit to the fans, maybe we need to get some people from Baseball America on, because we talk a lot about Gorman and Nunez and Montero, but apparently Gorman and Carlson are really the only two guys they have in the system that are renowned throughout baseball. The Cardinal system has, as Derek Gould noted today on Twitter, it's been mined pretty heavily with the losses of Alcantara. And then you lose Kelly, and Luke Weaver is part of that, and Mercado last year. But I think we look at the Cardinals' top prospects, but don't look at them in the realm of the top 100 for Major League Baseball. And I think we need to do a better job of that, because apparently there isn't as much respect for those guys that we talk about as the Cardinals have and that we have.
Well, I think teams are interested in them, but the Cardinals were not interested in dealing them. Wasn't it Nolan Gorman that Mo was talking about, or Gersh, or whoever it was a couple
Dylan
of days
Carlson,
ago?
Cold dead hands?
Yes,
yeah,
that line, right? So we're talking about one of those two prospects in a sense of we're not giving him up. And some of that could be posturing, saying, look, we will do business with you and give up Dylan Carlson, but you're going to have to give us a lot in return. So he could be serious. He could also be posturing. But one way or the other, I call prospects currency, and maybe it's not fair, but it is in a sense because they can be used to improve your ball club when you know the numbers are stacked against them actually graduating to the big leagues and being a meaningful impactor to your team.
Right.
You know, because
that's what they are.
Might.
Yeah, they're currency.
Both of those guys might be great, but you have to know when to spend them, and you have to be willing to spend them. And you also have to know for sure who you need to hang on to. And so far in the last few years, it hasn't worked out for them. They have not done a good job of it.
You can also, and to your original point, Randy, about you've got a couple of prospects that are highly sought after around baseball. So Nolan Gorman, Dylan Carlson. There is still talent. Now, it might not be top 100 talent. And those are the deals where, all right, well, you want this guy. Sorry, we're not going to do that. But maybe you have to add in another player. Maybe it's a third guy, or maybe it's a guy from another list. Like anybody that's planned a wedding, you've got your A list, and then you got your B list, all right? And if some of the A's can't make it, maybe the B's can slide in. Sometimes you have to add a little bit more onto a package, or depending on a deal, maybe you have to take a little bit more money. Creativity is kind of part of what this job is. The farm system for the Cardinals has been a major strength over the years. And you look at their roster right now, and there are a lot of homegrown players there, a lot of those guys have graduated. A lot of guys that would have been on that list last year have graduated to the big leagues. And certainly, Randy, to the point before, as you mentioned, and Derek Gould tweeted about, the prospects have been picked over the last couple of years in a couple of trades. That doesn't mean you don't have you might not have enough to get Zach Greinke. Look at the deal that happened there. I don't think they do. Even if you give up Gorman and Carlson, like, that might not have been enough to make that deal. I don't know for sure. But I do believe that you had enough within the organization to go out there and get somebody at the back end of your rotation.
Well, and that's why I go back to the one guy that was traded, that has given innings, that takes the ball, and that's Roark. And the fact that he was traded for Oakland's number 8 prospect, and by the way, Jameson Hanna, the guy the Reds got, slides into the Reds as their number 10 prospect, I would have to think that the Cardinals could have come close to an offer like that, and he's not a top 100 guy by any stretch of the imagination. That's the one that I look at. Meanwhile, as we move forward, the Cardinals are still going to have to play, and where are the innings going to come from? Gersh says, don't worry about it.
We feel comfortable that our front four guys have pitched quite well, actually, over the last several months. We've hit a little bit of a tough stretch here, but and you know, we expect Waka to step into the fifth spot and pitch like he has in the past. We still have Hans available for innings if and when we need him. And we feel good about our bullpen. Our bullpen has been very effective and it's been pretty deep. So, you know, we're as Mo said, we're comfortable with the team that we have and that we're in a position to win the division.
Can you not laugh during a quote?
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Right in the middle of it? Like that? Some stank?
I apologize.
He got it out with a straight face. You can at least listen.
That's his job, though. He's got to be a straight face guy. That's awesome.
Oh, man. The problem is, and as much as we all love and appreciate Adam Wainwright here, you're counting on a 37-year-old guy that has not pitched a complete season since 2014 to essentially pitch a complete season and pitch down the stretch and into October for you. Jack Flaherty has never done that. Miles Michaelis has never done that. Dakota Hudson is in his first year in the majors. So we don't know how he'll do in September as a starter because he's never pitched in September as a starting pitcher. And obviously you aren't going to get a complete season out of Michael Wacha. So that's where my concern comes from. I certainly agree that the Cardinal pitchers have pitched well for 4 months. But the hardest thing to do, and BT, you live this, is to play in September, especially as a young player.
It is different. It's a different animal. And again, I don't look at the inaction at the trade deadline and say we're screwed. I don't. I don't look at it that way. But I It was an opportunity to get better. This group of guys, these starters, the top four, and whoever ends up filling in that fifth spot, and maybe Michael Wacha takes a stranglehold of it. Maybe a lot of guys fill in and eat up some innings. I don't know. Thank you for not laughing too loud as I was saying that.
I know.
I heard the inside.
We can hear it.
I heard it.
I heard every part of it.
It doesn't mean you can't win a championship with this group. You have a part of first place right now. You just made your job a little bit tougher. By the way, I don't know how the heck we got this, but apparently we've got audio from Mo yesterday on the phone with some other GMs. There it is. That's how that conversation went down with about eight starting pitchers.
What?
I couldn't do it either. She ain't budging.
What if that was the... I would watch that show. Like, so just, it's kind of like a Hard Knocks, but trade deadline.
Yeah.
And pick your sport, any sport. I would love, like, the behind the scenes of something like that. Hey, deal or no deal? You're going to have to give a little bit. Give a little bit. Just a little. No, fine. Well, yeah. You need six prospects. You need six prospects. Can't happen. Sorry. No deal.
Oh, brother. Cardinals play tonight against the Cubs at the ballpark.
Four outright first place. It's a rubber match. It's a rubber match of the it's Cardinals-Cubs. It's first place on the line. It's going to be awesome.
Yep.
We can be as angry as we want. That ain't changing now.
No.
So let's just And here's another positive, Randy. Mm-hmm. You know how the Cubs picked up Nicholas Castellanos?
Yes.
He kills left-handed pitching. We don't even have any of that. So what do we care?
See?
Exactly.
Oh, man,
matters.
I love silver lining.
He'll get
Robbie Ray. Why? So Castellanos can murder him? No, thank you.
Yeah.
No deal. No deal. Couldn't do it.
See? I love the positive. Yadi headed out on a rehab assignment in Memphis, so Memphis will have Yadi, Marp, Ozuna, and Bader in their lineup at the same time.
That's a good lineup.
It is.
That's a lot of good names.
Yeah.
That you'd love to have here.
Yeah, no doubt. The Cardinals players that are available tonight will feature this lineup against the Cubs. Fowler leading off in center field, so Dexter is leading off. Martinez in right, Goldschmidt at first, then O'Neill, DeYoung, Jairo Munoz, Wieters behind the plate, Wonger at second, and Flaherty on the mound. And the Cubs have a new look, obviously, with the deals they made. They're going to have Jason Hayward in center and leading off. Nicholas Castellanos is their new right fielder. He hits second. Chris Bryant at third. Then Rizzo, Baez, Contreras. Kyle Schwarber, their new second baseman, Tony Kemp, will hit eighth. And John Lester on the mound. Lester against Flaherty. Good pitching pairing.
Should be a great pitching pairing. It was a great one last night also. The Cardinals are going to have to figure out if, in fact, they figure out their way on the bases tonight, is to get them in. I mean, they had plenty of opportunities. You credit Hendricks. He was so good last night. Again, fun to watch. But you need this one. I mean, this is the series is on the line. Certainly first place is on the line and will be all the way through the rest of the year. So it's not like you're living and dying by this one. But should be a wildly entertaining ball game. And two teams, if you believe in the momentum or not, and I don't think that the pickups that the Cubs made are anything like what the Astros did.
Right.
But their team got better. So do you see a boost there?
Yeah, the team needed help. And they went and got help. It's probably not ideal, but they've done a lot of work here in the last few weeks to try and get better with the signing of Kimbrel and then doing what they did yesterday. That bullpen should be improved and their lineup should be improved. So we'll see. You know, there are still 2 months left to go in the season, and it's not a must win or anything like that for the Cardinals tonight, but it would sure be nice to get that win a series against the Cubs with the way everybody felt about how yesterday went down.
It's the biggest game of the year, Raj.
Yeah. So far, yeah.
Games today, Zach Wheeler, seven shutout innings for the Mets at Chicago against the White Sox. And in the bottom of the ninth now, the Mets lead the White Sox by a score of 4-0. So if you're going against the White Sox on a regular basis, then Zach Wheeler is your guy. Milwaukee is playing at Oakland today. They're tied 1-1 in the third. 12 innings earlier today, the Marlins over the Twins 5-4. And the Phillies trampled the Giants by a score of 10-2. Yesterday, the MLS All-Star Game was played, and Commissioner Don Garber joined Rob Stone on Fox to talk about some expansion news, especially with St. Louis.
We always like to talk about expansion. You just had the Board of Governors meeting today. Why are you guys now in advanced discussions with St. Louis?
Well, you know, their project is amazing, Rob. It's a massive downtown stadium project. The Taylor family, they really are St. Louis. They've teamed up with a number of other people that are from the game. And should that get over the finish line, it will be a fully female ownership group. It'll be the first in Major League Soccer. So we've just got a little bit of work to do. We're not there yet, but we love what they're doing, and we really have a lot of respect for their plan.
So that's exciting. So what would a timeline be for MLS?
I really can't give you any specifics on that, Rob, but you know, when we say advanced, man, we're running fast. Right. But we just want to get it right. I mean, that's important.
That's pretty cool to hear, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great to hear. This whole Rob Stone guy, what a jerk, huh?
Yeah.
You heard that lead-in question. Why St. Louis?
Yeah.
Wolf. Right?
Why? Yeah.
Advanced? Are you supposed to say hi and then leave? Suck it, Rob.
I'm with you.
It did sound like a little bit of stank,
didn't
it?
There was some stank on that. He's got an agenda.
I hope he gets a rash.
Rob's probably like a super nice guy. Like I don't know anything about him. I don't know why. This is irrational.
Did you guys know that we're off early tonight for the Pro Football Hall of Fame game?
There you go. Heard about that.
Broncos, how is that already?
It's amazing, isn't it? Broncos and Falcons.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're off at 6:30 tonight. And
by the way, I can't watch that. Can't watch it.
Emergency alert.
Listen to it here.
Yeah, I'll listen all
night.
That's
the type of game you got to hear. Yeah.
It is. Yeah, be here. There's an Amber Alert.
Yeah, I just got the same notification.
I know you got it on your phone, too, so you don't have to listen to me telling you what it is, because as you're driving along, you just pick up your phone, and you will be fine.
Well, not while you're driving along. Why don't you just tell people what it is?
It's a black GMC or Chevrolet full-size truck, tires in the bed. That's
what you're looking for. Well, that narrows
it down. Tires in the bed, though. That should do it.
Okay, keep that in mind.
Well, yeah, you can't ask people to check their text messages while they're driving.
Oh, yes, I can. That just happened. And a couple of other notes for you.
Song either. That was black GMC, Chevrolet, full-size truck, tires in the bed. No, seriously, tires in the bed.
A new Buffalo Wild Wings planned at DFW International Airport could be the first of its kind with Topgolf inside.
What?
DFW Airport members heard a proposal Tuesday from a Plano company that wants to build a new concept called BWW Sports Experience powered by Topgolf, so they would have a B-dubs with a Topgolf inside it at the airport.
Sorry, is that heaven?
What?
You're mixing up two of the best things around?
I would schedule long layovers in Dallas.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's a nice airport anyhow. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of options. I'm with you. It's, all right, where are we headed? Cool, I'll take the six-hour delay.
Yeah.
Fine, I'm going to go play golf.
And enjoy B-dubs wings?
Yes, life is good.
Now, what if they have the All-American Cheeseburger in Texas?
Oh, I'm sure they do.
So
that'd
be great.
Yeah. Had that last night. It was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yesterday, we mentioned that our TVs were scuffling and that we hoped that Charter would come out. This morning, Charter came out. So thanks to our friends that tune in from Spectrum Cable. I said Charter. It's known as Spectrum now. Spectrum Business. They did a fantastic job, and now we're able to watch MLB Network and ESPN and everything that we really haven't been able to watch for a
couple
days.
Basically, guys, every network that we would need to watch in here, we haven't been able to watch for the last month. And they came and hooked it up today just because we talked about it. They're the best.
So thanks to our friends from Spectrum. They do great work.
Yeah, they did a really nice job. Applause. Thank you so much.
I don't usually hear this with you here, Ranj.
What's that?
This applause.
Yeah.
This is weird.
Usually it's when I'm gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I didn't do it.
Friends,
I don't run the board.
You guys are really sensitive. You know, I thought you'd like me better.
We do like
you. We're team players.
If we didn't care, we wouldn't choke. That's how it is.
Those are your...
Shoot me in the face, would you? I heard about that. You got mad earlier.
Those are your hot topics of the day.
Hold on a second. You did something really mean earlier
today.
Randy
shot me in the face.
Yeah.
That's not very nice.
You could've
got a laugh out of it. We all did.
I started doing a video for social media.
Yeah.
And I got three words out of my mouth. Then he busts a cap right in my face.
With a Nerf gun?
Yeah. But from like 2 feet away. Hit me right in the beak.
Those things can move.
Yeah. And then I said the F word on a video.
I hope it's out there.
I was really entertained by it.
Yeah. Everybody was crying and like laughing so hard.
He's not wearing safety goggles. You can't do that.
I didn't even know. It was a shot. It was a miracle shot from actually behind.
Yeah, exactly.
Behind.
Those things don't shoot true. You gotta
Annie Oakley over here. Just doing his thing.
Hit him in the nose. There was no way I could have ever hit him in
the
eye.
You almost killed
him. It's right next to my eye. I mean, the nose is directly
but
next.
It was behind you. Basically.
It hit me in the right directly.
Exactly.
It was a direct
shot. That's why it was a miracle shot.
I could have been wearing an eye patch in here, Randy. It was a hell of a shot, and I commend you.
What if
timing was impeccable?
If Randy would have taken your eye out with that shot, how mad would you be at him?
Pirate mad.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
That mad.
I think an eye patch would
be
cool.
Our friend Greg Amzinger referred to the Cardinals in action as unreal. The MLB Network anchor will join us next year on 101 ESPN. Greg Amzinger is a native St. Louisan. He's a Lindenwood grad. He's the lead anchor for MLB Network. Did a magnificent job yesterday on trade deadline coverage, and I think was blown away at the end of the show by the Zach Greinke trade and disappointed by the Cardinals in action. And Greg is with us now on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line on 101 ESPN. How are you, my man?
I'm doing well. I think my reaction to Ken Rosenthal breaking the Greinke news was, whoa! It was a very unprofessional moment by me. But I could not stop being a fan. I was absolutely blown away by that.
It was crazy. Greg, I would say until about 6:30 Central yesterday, I kept yelling at Randy to refresh the Twitter just in case something would come around for the Cardinals.
We did get the Singrani trade at about 3:30.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, we did get that one. That one came through. Greg, honestly, for me, that's about as stunned and maybe like trying not to be total fan here, but as upset as I've been at a trade deadline in a while. You see the Cardinals, see what they didn't do. What did you think?
I was shocked. There was a short list of teams that we were expecting big things from, and a dud of a day. Look, I said this before, and fans on social media were upstate. They're like, what are you talking about? How is this possible? It was a seller's market. When everyone's a buyer, when the New York Mets are buying Marcus Stroman, when the Cincinnati Reds are buying Trevor Bauer and trading one of their top prospects to get him, like, when everyone's a buyer, right, because everyone's getting ready for 2020, 2021, the old days of buyers and sellers, it's gone. So if everyone's buying, if everyone's looking for a big leaguer, if everyone's looking to make their team better for 2020, it became a seller's market, so the price went way up. This went way up. So you saw guys like Brian Cashman, who after years and years of ownership making him overspend for free agents and trading away prospects that he coveted, he's not getting rid of young talent for no payoff. He's not going to do it. And the Robbie Ray price tag was ridiculous. Clint Frazier and three other prospects. He wasn't going to do that for Robbie Ray. He wasn't. So what I ended up thinking about was all of these teams were considering, is it worth this price, and what can we do internally to make us even better than trading away all these young players for this one player? So internally, I looked at the Oakland A's going, okay, Tanner Roark, that's not a big news deal, but they've got A.J. Puck on the men, Sean Manaea on the men, this kid Cotton's going to be coming back. They're going to have a lot of talent. The New York Yankees didn't make any moves in terms of starting pitching, but the way Brian Cashman looked at it, he was like, wait, I'll just bullpen everyone to death. I'm just going to do that. Severino's going to come back, and I'm going to have him go one inning. He's going to go to an already great bullpen. Betances is going to come back. He's going to go to a great bullpen. I got this kid Garcia throwing 101 miles an hour. He's my top pitching prospect. I held on to him. He's going to be a September call-up. I'll, you know what? In October, he might come out of my bullpen. I'm just going to bullpen everyone to death. I'll be the anti-Astros. Okay? That's a clear plan, and I understand why you would do that. I don't. There's only one team I don't get. That's the Cardinals. I don't understand it. I don't know why they didn't go get Robbie Ray. I don't understand. They need a guy. They clearly need a guy. They need even more bullpen help, and they didn't do it. I'm completely befuddled by this. The other day, I made note of the point that the Cubs and Cardinals have been playing since 1892. And the other night, when they were tied for first place, that was the latest in a season that the Cardinals and the Cubs were tied for first place. So this is as good as it's ever been in terms of the rivalry of the Cardinals and the Cubs. This late in the season, tied for first place, and the Cubs made a move. At least they got Castellanos. Cardinals didn't do anything, and to me that was mind-blowing.
So I guess for a lot of people, and me included, when I watch what's been happening, is it just feels like middling. Because you get Goldschmidt, which is good, really, really good. You have Ozuna on your roster, which is also good. And you don't have quite enough pitching to start the season. And I think they knew that, even though they told us they've got 9 or 10 guys they feel like could start games.
I wasn't as confident about that. And it feels like there's this opportunity to really, if you're trying to win, go do it even though the cost is high. So does this count as middling? Is that what they are doing right now? Because that's how it feels to me, and I think a lot of other people.
I think it's the way front office executives are evaluated today. It's really, they're not evaluated by pennants. They're not evaluated by payroll. What they're evaluated by is, are you playing meaningful games? Are you a winning? Do you produce a winning product? And how is your farm system ranked? And that's the balance. I think going all in, for example, a few years back, Alex Anthopoulos emptied out his farm system to go all in for the Toronto Blue Jays to go to the postseason. It was a huge run for the fans north of the border. But other executives were laughing and rolling their eyes at this buffoon, Alex Anthopoulos, and what he did when he took over for the Atlanta Braves. You better believe he had to promise that he would not overlook the value of a farm system for him to get that job. And now you see the Atlanta Braves have the second-best farm system in the sport. You can't be a maverick that doesn't care about young talent anymore. That is going to get you run out of the business. So I think it's this internal competition inside the industry that no one wants to – the days of Trader Jack McKeon are gone. We need guys like that back.
Yep.
Brody Van Wagenen is probably the closest thing to it. A guy that's just going to just – yeah, you know what? We want Marcus Stroman. You know, hell with all you guys that are too scared to pull the trigger. We'll go get him. Okay? We need guys that are willing to ruffle feathers, to shock the system, to bring the house down. And who would have thunk it 8 years ago that guy on this day in 2019 would be Jeff Luhnow?
Right.
Who would have thought the analytically driven, you know, genius who left in bad terms with the Cardinals and had no feel for a player's angle would sit there and go, yeah, let's take on 2 years over $60 million for a guy that's 36 years old. We've already paid and extended Justin Verlander. Winning teaches you things. And Jeff Luhnow has been educated that one way isn't the only way up the highway. You got to actually have some pizzazz, some star power. He added to his star power yesterday. For some reason, he was the only guy that did.
Greg Amzinger, MLB Network on 101 ESPN. Greg, is it unreasonable for me to think that in 2020, the Cincinnati Reds are going to be really scary with Bauer, Castillo, Gray, Wood, and DeSclafani in their rotation? They've got a pretty good bullpen. I know they traded Yasiel Puig, but they're going to have the opportunity to get a bat this offseason, and they've got some good young bats for their outfield. I think that's a scary team for next year.
When your worst player, Randy, is a future Hall of Famer, and that's Joey Votto, that's your worst player. Like there's no power. He isn't driving anybody. His on-base percentage is even dipped. If that's your dead weight, then that's a pretty good scene. You know, I mean, Peraza's having a hard time finding the field. Eugenio Suarez might be the most overlooked star player in the National League. He is so good, and he's your third baseman. Jesse Winker's coming into his own. He's in the outfield. Nick Senzel's playing, and the kid's got a high upside. Offensively, this team's going to score runs. Who would have ever seen, of all the teams in Major League Baseball, if you look at 2018 to 2019, the one statistical insane boost for any one team, you've got the Twins and their power. They acquired a lot of home run hitters, so their home run production has gone up significantly from 2018. But how about the pitching of the Cincinnati Reds? To be a top five rotation in baseball in that bandbox, They got an ace. Castillo's an ace. Bauer's a number two. Castillo's their number one guy. Mm-hmm. He to me is the closest thing we've seen. And I know this is a stretch. He's not as good as this guy, but in terms of what we're looking at, that natural instinctual ace of the late Jose Fernandez of the Marlins. This kid's got that kind of a special arm, and he was actually in the Marlins in the Padres system, I believe. No, I think Marlins. Yeah, Marlins. So the Marlins could have had him. So anyway, they've got Win Day. When you have Win Day, when you get a number one and that's your guy, the future's bright. You can fill in the spots behind. That's what the Cardinals don't have. Who's Win Day? Who's the guy? It used to be Wainwright back in the day. That's not the case anymore. I think everyone going into the season thought Miles Michaelis would be that guy. didn't turn out to be the case anymore. Jack Flaherty looks like he should be the guy, but the inconsistency comes with being as young as he is. So the Cardinals are going to go in to the stretch run the last 2 months of the season without Winday, without the guy in the rotation. And I just think that's a shame, man. You're tied with the Cubs for first place, and you still don't think this is your time to strike. I just don't get it.
All right, so everybody is, you can imagine, Greg, around here what our techs look like. People are upset about the inactivity, and rightfully so. The Cubs, though, they did add a little bit. They were busy at the very least. They got better. They got their proven bat in Castellanos, got a couple of relievers, picked up Tony Kemp as well. How much better do you think the Cubs got?
Well, we have to remind ourselves they did go get Craig Kimbrell as well.
Sure.
Kimbrell looks like he's starting to fit right into that ninth inning. The Kemp move, I think, is overlooked. It's a young guy. It's a guy that can play all three outfield positions and has proven that he can play second base as well. They've been forcing David Bodie to go over there and play a little bit. The Ben Zobrist saga has really thrown a wrench into the way Joe Maddon likes to manage for the Cubs. So Kemp gives him that flexibility, and Castellanos does as well. I don't want to hear all this, oh, it's negative 11 defensive run saved at third base. Stop. The kid can play third base. He's not a liability over there. You know, he's better than Todd Zeal was back in the early 90s, okay? Castellanos can survive over there. If Chris Bryant can play in the outfield, Castellanos can go back and play a little third base. He'll play left field. I think what you're going to see Castellanos do is almost become a platoon player. He's not going to like it, but that's going to be the case. Kyle Schwarber's hitting .221 right now. Lefties eat him alive. He's never going to win a Gold Glove in left field, so you might as well just split time between him and Castellanos. Castellanos rakes against lefties. It's a smart move. They made themselves better throughout the season, and it's something the Cardinals chose not to do, and I still am trying to understand why. It's just so – and, Randy, you've covered this team for decades. It's not what they normally do, right? It's not what they normally do. What do they think is going to happen? Do you think Alex Reyes is going to have a really nice rehab and he's going to come back and get four outs and throw 100 miles an hour? Are those the expectations? Because I just don't think those are realistic.
And I do think that, and I was thinking about this, Tony La Russa's aggressiveness and assertiveness made a big difference because Tony pushed hard for guys like Holiday and for McGuire and for Roland, and when they got Chuck Finley, Tony was relentless with the front office. I don't think there's a manager in baseball now that does that, and general managers are running the day, and here, that you're right, they just aren't particularly aggressive during the season.
Here's the thing that bothers me. We didn't even, I've been searching around. I'm all my insider friends. I can't find out who they were in talks with. I'm not even hearing that they were close. Like, I heard that the Yankees were close on Robbie Ray. That's who they targeted. They fell out of the Mad Bum thing. Mike Minor, once he started complaining, his numbers went down. They were out, but they really wanted Robbie Ray. I'm not even hearing who the Cardinals were in talks to acquire. Like, I'm not even hearing anything about that. To me, it's as if they looked around the reliever market, but once they saw Stroman, Bauer go, and then they heard what the prices were for some of these starters, I don't even know if it was a consideration. And to me, that's alarming.
Well, the only thing that we had heard yesterday was Zach Wheeler was a possibility, but they wanted to start with Bader or O'Neill. Maybe somebody else. I'm not exactly sure how many other prospects. Maybe one, maybe two. Maybe it was just two players total, but that's the only thing I heard.
And then think about it. That's one guy. One guy. Now, along the way, you can't just hyper-focus on one day. You know, Stroman was traded before the trade deadline day. So was Trevor Bauer. I'm sure there were preliminary talks that were going on the last 2 weeks. I've heard there was interest with Minor. But on a day where you don't get that waiver deadline in August, when you know that's not the case, the rules have changed, when front offices know that this upcoming offseason there will not be a laundry list of great free agent starting pitchers to boost your rotation for the 2020 season, you have to look at this trade deadline differently. And I just thought for sure that if there was a team that was going to shock us and get a big name starter at the 4 p.m. deadline, it wouldn't be the team that's already got Verlander and Cole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought for sure it would be a team that was had a fan base foaming at the mouth for one move, one signature move on a day where they're tied with the Cubs for first place in the division. I can't believe they let that moment and that momentum pass. I'm shocked by it.
And Greg, the Cardinals and the Astros are playing on different planes now. If the Cardinals make a move, it's to make the playoffs. The Astros made their move to win the World Series. Is there a team that you see out there, Yankees included, that you think is as good as or better than Houston?
I think Greinke going to the Astros is huge. Please do not overlook Aaron Sanchez going to the Astros.
Yeah, huge.
Oh, my goodness. This kid led the AL in ERA in 2016. He's still throwing mid to upper 90s. His velocity down a little bit in his last start, but he struck out 10. That's the kind of stuff he's got, okay? You take that kid and you put him with the Astros pitching philosophy, which has taken every pitcher they've ever had their hands on and improved them. He will be spinning the baseball so much more. His breaking ball usage will skyrocket. This kid's going to be a weapon. He might not be starting a postseason game, but you're damn sure he'll be coming out of the bullpen. He's going to be a weapon for them. So I think Greinke, Sanchez, it just makes it too much. It's just, they got this kid, Tucker. Kyle Tucker's got 27 home runs in AAA, and then he'll be a September call-up. He'll be a bat off the bench. He can't get into a game. Yordan Alvarez is the most impressive rookie hitter I've seen. I'm sorry, Pete Alonso. But if I had to give a 10-year contract to just a pure hitter, overall position player-wise, Fernando Tatis Jr. is the most impressive. But over Eloy Jimenez, over Vlad Guerrero Jr., over Pete Alonso, this Yordan Alvarez kid for the Houston Astros looks like Big Poppy in his prime, okay? This team is stacked. I like the Yankees bullpen. I've said it for a long time. I love the Yankees bullpen. But when your one signature move during the season is Edwin Encarnacion, I think the Astros just went over you in my power rankings book. Now, as I brought up Alex Anthopoulos, and I say he's supposed to covet young talent, he still does, but did he not fix the back end of his bullpen yesterday? He sure did. Shane Green's got a 1.18 ERA. He goes right into that ninth inning. Mark Melanson's found it again with the Giants. He went and got him. You sprinkle in Luke Jackson, whose last seven outings have been bad, but he's not a closer. He's not. The kid was a starter throughout the minor leagues. They're making him to a reliever. He's got high upside. I like him. Put him in the seventh inning. You got Sean Newcomb, who can bail him out, throwing 98 from the left side. I really love what the Braves did. I think the Braves are all in. And don't overlook the Dodgers' slow deadline day. Just don't. Julio Urias is going to be the Andrew Miller of 2016, okay? He's going to be the high-leverage super reliever in the postseason. And this kid that's going to debut this weekend, Dustin May, watch for him. His nickname is Ginger Guard. He looks like Thor, looks like Noah Syndergaard with Clint Frazier's head, long red hair. I saw this kid in the Futures game. He came in, 1-2-3 inning, throwing 100 miles an hour.
He looks like Carrot Top. I sent you that picture. He looks like Carrot Top.
He does, except, not as muscular. Isn't that weird to say that? But not as muscular as Carrot Top. But no, he's a stud, and you can see him in the bullpen too. So there's a rhyme and reason for what the Dodgers do, and I don't think they looked outside their organization and liked anything that better than what they had in their organization. So don't think that their silence means that they're not expecting to go to the World Series and win it.
Greg Amsinger, you are the best. Thanks so much for taking some time with us. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. I look forward to it. Take care.
See you later. That is Greg Amsinger, MLB Network. And, of course, you can see him on MLB Tonight this evening on MLB Network. We are going to get a new fighter for the 4 o'clock fight. It'll probably be something like the 4:10 fight coming up next time.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.